Before Bob Betts was Mr. Prairie, before he discovered and saved most of the existing native grasslands in Illinois and Indiana, and before he helped forge a new direction in environmentalism, he was just a kid from the south side of Chicago. But even then, you could tell what was to come.
I had been born in Bridgeport, and we had these empty lots, which we called prairies. And since I was interested in plants, and since I had no books that I could compare and know what their names were, I made my own names up. One I had I called Wedding Bells, and another one that the Stinky Plant, you know, and all the rest. So I had most of the weeds and so on that grow in the city, and in the cracks on the sidewalk.
A child like that could only become a scientist as an adult. By the early 60s, young Bobby had become Dr. Robert Betts, biochemist. He might have spent the rest of his career crystallizing DNA in the lab if a colleague hadn't invited him along on a botany class field trip. The trip was to a small virgin tract of prairie in suburban Chicago. Expecting to see the plants he'd learned to identify as a boy, he arrived.
And I had never seen any plants like that in my life. The prairies I had in Bridgeport, if these are the prairie plants, what were they? You know, of course, they're the weeds, you know, and I thought, you know, I assumed. And then I got word, as I suppose, and slang would be hooked on a prairie. I got prairie fever.
It was a bad case. Almost four decades later, Betts had discovered and saved 40 prairies. But what made him unique was what he did after he found them.
I burned them.
Prairies evolved on plains where wildfires swept through almost every summer. So regular were these fires that the prairie became dependent on them. It actually needs fire to survive. The tiny remnants Betts was finding were surrounded by roads and fields and fire departments and all sorts of other things that kept them from igniting. In order to save his discoveries, Betts needed to burn them himself on a regular basis. By taking this step, he became a pioneer in a growing environmental movement, ecological restoration. Steve Packard is with the Nature Conservancy. He says the new movement is based on the realization that old, hands-off conservation practices don't always work.
It's not sufficient to say, well, let's take some areas and leave them alone, put a fence around them and padlock them, and then nature will come back. Nothing of the kind would happen.
What happens instead is that a greatly simplified landscape of invasive species takes over. Thickets of shrubby trees called buckthorn displace prairies and savannas. A marsh weed called purple loosestrife strangles wetlands. What's new about ecological restorationists is that they don't just watch these natural areas change, they actively reverse the changes. They do this by recreating or mimicking the natural conditions that existed before European settlement. This could mean setting periodic fires, as Betts does. It could mean restoring a wetland's original water supply. It could mean diverting a stream back into its original bed. Betts says the approach is spreading.
In Long Island and out west, they're beginning to do that. In California, they're getting involved in it. They have to rebuild woodlands and marshes and wetlands of all sorts. The thing is, this whole ecological restoration, reconstruction movement is going to be, it's going to be the wave of the future.
Okay. On a recent sunny afternoon, Betts walks through the first prairie he ever discovered.
Wow. This is a virgin tract.
It sits on an old settler cemetery in suburban Chicago. It's tiny, a one-acre rectangle about the size of a high school football field. There's corn on three sides, road on the fourth. For 35 years, Betts has been managing this site, monitoring the species, maintaining the fence, fretting about the teenagers who sneak in at night, and of course, burning almost every year.
You stand in wonderment when you look out here on this whole piece of ground. All around are all these fields. There's soybeans there, and there's corn over there, and there's houses over there, and buildings over there, and all the rest. And this place is something that if you brought these settlers back that are in this cemetery, and they were looking, they say, I know this.
To Betts and to most ecological restorationists, this, after all, is the goal. To ensure that at least a couple scraps of our world remain in a condition that our ancestors might recognize.